This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, this hour is sponsored by Better. Better Picks is a daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better or visit Better app now. That's BETR.APP. Sign up today and get a free $10. Free $10 and no deposit necessary. All right, this is the Better Hour. And Will Hill, you feel better about your bet on the Chiefs than you did pregame?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. Got the lead, got the ball, catching a whole bunch of points. So, I mean, it just goes to show you, you look at these games on paper, not that, you know, puff your chest out victory lap after, you know, a quarter and a half of football, but it's just very hard to cover 14 points on the road. Because if you laid the points and you're losing, it's just, it's the hurdle you have to get to the number you need to is very tough. But the recipe so far for the Chiefs is, has been what they need to do. Got a turnover. They've played good defense. Got a little creative with the running game as they run a little reverse here and pick up another first down. So I think the Chiefs plus the points obviously looking good as this live number has come crashing down to under a touchdown. And you start to wonder, is it too early to think the Chiefs could actually win this game, Matt? Has that crossed your mind yet?
It certainly crossed my mind. It crossed my mind actually before the game tonight because I'm paranoid. I've got Broncos bets to win the AFC West at about 3-1 or a little bit better. I've got the I got a Super Bowl future on the Broncos as well. I don't want to see this Denver team fall apart here late in the season. And I certainly want to win that division bet on the Broncos. And if they lose tonight, they're going to have to beat the Chargers next week in Denver to make that happen. They could still make it happen if they win tonight in KC, if the Chargers get tripped up in that game against the Texans. But obviously the easiest way to get to the AFC West, to the top of it, is to beat the Chiefs tonight as two touchdown favorites. So I said, I got a feeling they're going to have to sweat this one out. I should have taken the points. I regret not taking the points on the Chiefs. I was so close to doing it when it was 14 this morning at Circa and 15.5 live here when the Broncos were driving to open the game. Did not do it. And, Will, I just feel like now this number is not going to be coming back. I think that's a missed opportunity to get that big fat number with the Chiefs because I don't think the Broncos are going to regain control of this game and get it to a point where we're going to see that live number up around two touchdowns again. Do you?
I'm with you. And you have to be concerned too about the Broncos from a big picture perspective, because it's not like they come into this game fat and happy. They got their teeth kicked in by the Jags on Sunday. So you think is a big favorite, you know, maybe you catch a big favorite sleeping after a win, but after they lose by two touchdowns at home, for them to come in and kind of sleepwalk through the first, you know, quarter. And I mean, look, we still got 9 minutes left in the first half. There's still plenty of game to be played, and you know, they could take the lead and pull away, and all this looks stupid a couple hours from now. And it looks like they will get off the field here as they force a fourth down here. Chiefs complete the pass but come up short. But the Broncos just, they're not impressive. Even during that win streak, and you alluded to it, skating by the skin of their teeth, you know, beating the Jets by a couple points, barely beating the Giants. They don't impress. If this, if the NFL had a playoff committee, you wouldn't get too many style points with all these victories.
No, you wouldn't. And that's why I think a lot of people are hesitant to buy in on the Broncos, Will. How do you feel about this? Because when you see a team with so many close, low-scoring, ugly games, and then you look at a quarterback like Bo Nix, who plays really well 1 week and then pretty poorly the next, it's hard to buy into that team. And I think that's where the Broncos are right now for a lot of people. Even I've been a big Broncos backer all, you know, going back to the summer. I touted this team countless times to win the division and to go over the win total, and I kept saying the Broncos were a contender. I'm not that impressed by the way they have arrived at 12-3 because, Will, and we can say this about a lot of NFL teams, especially the Bears. You're 12-3, but you're only a few plays away from being 9-6, right?
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of win total, somebody texted me the other day when the Bears were beating the Packers. Like, what do you think the Bears' win total will be next year? Like, how do you weigh what they've done with the wins versus how lucky they've been, which is, obviously a conversation for another day. But no, I'm not impressed with Denver. I would give them a shot. If you can get one of these playoff games or a couple of them at home, I mean, that's a tough place to play. Peyton's a guy who's won. He's a Super Bowl winning coach with a good home field, a defense that you think is good. I don't love the quarterback, but I guess the saving grace is you have a good home field and the AFC is pretty wide open, as we've talked about.
Broncos down 7-3. They get the ball back after the punt. Live number at DraftKings with the Chiefs in the lead is now Denver minus 5.5, but that's minus 130. The live total 34.5 for the game, and Denver minus 315 on the money line. See if the Broncos can mount a scoring drive here. Quick update from the association, because it's been a busy day in the NBA. We talked about some of the stuff that has gone down here so far. We got the Rockets and the Lakers in action in L.A., and it's mostly Rockets so far. 57-49, late first half. Rockets up by 8. Luka Doncic with 13 points so far. Kevin Durant just made a free throw to put the Rockets up 8. But there's one thing about this Lakers team that you don't like. And there are some things to like. But, Will, it looks like defensively they're not going to be able to hang with the best teams in the West. They're too old, too slow, not going to be able to beat teams like the Spurs, like the Thunder, like the Nuggets, and maybe like the Suns. Right now they're having a hell of a lot of trouble with the Rockets, right? So I don't really take the Lakers that seriously as contenders to win the West. Do you?
No, I don't. I think they could be dangerous in any given series because Luka is such a great playoff performer and such a great scorer. Mm-hmm. But there's just a lack of athleticism, especially when you compare them to the Rockets, who are just so young, so tenacious, so athletic. And the Lakers, you know, they lack foot speed. They lack athleticism. I mean, it's Luka. It's Austin Reeves. LeBron, at his age, they don't have any elite perimeter defenders. They've gotten a nice year out of Ayton, but, you know, Hachimura is kind of a limited player. So they're certainly a flawed team in what is an absolutely loaded West. I can't remember not just the NBA, but any sport where there's been such a gap between the West and the East. And especially looking forward, Jokic is on the Nuggets. You know, Cooper Flagg is on Dallas. Luka's on the Lakers, the Thunder, the Spurs. It's like the 7 or 8, the Rockets. And it's so imbalanced towards the West compared to the East.
Yeah, it is. But when you look at the West, too, I think you got 7 good or really good teams, and then you have a drop-off there, too.
Sure.
So you don't have 10 really good teams in the West like I feel like you've had in a couple of recent seasons. But you're right. There is definitely an imbalance, and it's tilted toward the West. If you missed the NBA action here on Christmas Day, and if you did, I don't blame you. The Knicks were 4-point home favorites here at Circa. Total was 242. And the Knicks win but fail to cover, 126-124 against Cleveland. That goes over. OKC Thunder, 11-point home favorites, total 234.5, and the Spurs win that game 117-102. Stays under. Spurs by 15, catching 11. Big win for the Spurs, third time they have beat the Thunder. Golden State, a 9.5-point home favorite against Dallas. Warriors win it and barely cover, 126-116. Over the total of 231, and this one closed Rockets laying 2, total of 232, and Rockets up by 10, 61-51, with 1 minute to go before the half. Last game tonight, Nuggets, 1-point home favorite against the T-Wolves in Denver, total of 238.5 in that one, the fifth of 5 games on Christmas Day. Chiefs up 7-3 over the Broncos, who face a 3rd-and-3. Checking out the live number here is now Denver 5.5, live total 33.5. And that's one thing, Will, the biggest adjustment. We've got big adjustments on both the side and the total here. I think Circa actually closed. Did Circa, I'm seeing on the screen, closed at 14 on this game. And it moved, it looks like, 15 seconds before kickoff because it was 13.5 up here on the board. And it showed the screen shows it closed 14 and it moved about 15 to 30 seconds before kickoff. Anyway, the number, the big adjustment, the number from 14 down to 5.5, but the total down from 38 to 33.5. And it looks like, well, when you watch the Broncos offense tonight, Bo Nix and the Broncos really just they didn't bring a whole lot. This is going to be, I think the Broncos are going to struggle to score 20 points in this game tonight. And there again, Nix on first down, scrambles out to the right, nowhere to go, throws the ball away. Broncos just really don't have much going offensively here.
Neither team does. I think they just flashed the stat. Denver's thrown for 58 yards. The Chiefs have thrown for 27. Yeah. We're coming off a game where the Vikings won with like 40 yards passing and Goff did nothing and turned the ball over. And it goes to show you what Rivers is doing. Maybe this just this generation of quarterbacks, maybe the offenses are too simple in college for Rivers to be able to get off the couch and do what he did. And you watch all of these quarterbacks struggle the way they do. You wonder if it's a flaw in the way they're coached and the way they're just, you know, kind of their progression through college and such, because it's really some bad, ugly performance here from these quarterbacks, not just tonight, but throughout the season.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to throw this question at you tonight, and I wanted to see if you think it's realistic or absurd, because you go back to Monday night, Phillip Rivers, 23 for 35. You and I were sitting here during this game commentating on how well Phillip Rivers was playing. 23 for 35, 277 with two touchdowns. He did take two sacks. And after we went off the air, Will, he threw a pick six. Is it absurd to think that Phillip Rivers might be the Colts' best option at quarterback next season?
I hadn't thought of it. It's not absurd, though. Okay. It's really not.
You don't think so?
You think it's absurd? I don't think it's crazy. He's played well.
I thought last week, or at least Monday night when you and I were here, I thought he played well enough you could say, you know what? He's got a high football IQ, and that's what it takes to, you know, succeed or excel at the quarterback position in the NFL. And Rivers did that on Monday night. Look, he was the best player the Colts had on the field Monday night, Will. Think about that. That's an indictment of the Colts too, right?
Yeah, and I read some of the quotes after the game that he was recognizing some of the blitzes that even the coaches and the coordinators weren't recognizing. And that you've pointed to it too, that the quote that you win with your mind at quarterback, and he's really shown that.
All right, Broncos are trying to drive out near midfield. Will Hill and I will come back and talk about Steelers-Browns and a couple other intriguing games on the schedule here in the NFL this week. Back in a couple minutes with Will Hill on VSIM Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, if you think you know sports, it's time to get paid for it. Better Picks is a daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app. Pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and when your picks hit, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Better has action every day of the year. NBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. There's always a lineup to build and always a chance to win. Getting started is easy. Head to BETR.app. Better app. Download it in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use promo code VSIN to claim your free $10. And your deposit bonus. Again, promo code VSIN, BETR, the Better app, Better Picks. If you know sports, it's time to prove it. Will Hill, how about the Chiefs? Tied for their largest home underdog role in franchise history. In 1977, they were 13-point underdogs, home underdogs, to Ken Stabler and the Raiders. And actually, this would be their largest home underdog spot since they closed 13.5 or 14 tonight. Snake Stabler and the Raiders in 1977. That's how far you have to go back. And when I read that this week, I said, you know, almost just based on principle and the fact that the Chiefs looked so bad last week in Tennessee, the Chiefs are probably going to be a play-on team this week against the Broncos. We got a long way to go in this game. We're not there yet. But a Chiefs team on a seven-game ATS losing streak still has a lead over the Broncos here late in the second quarter at the two-minute warning. KC 7, Denver 3. Live number, Broncos minus 5.5, minus 130. So, Will, when I mention that the Chiefs are in their biggest home underdog role in franchise history, is there a chance that you have a stat that could top that?
Yeah, I was thinking when you were mentioning that, the Chiefs probably know that. I mean, in an era where betting is so prevalent, it probably got back to Andy Reid or somebody on that team that they're, you know, that big of an underdog. But how about this stat? Max Brosmer, and this is courtesy of Optistats at Optistats on Twitter. Max Brosmer is the only NFL quarterback in the Super Bowl era to play the entire game and finish with under 70 passing yards and 7+ sacks and still win. And that's just, boy, not a ring endorsement of golf that in Detroit and Dan Campbell that you couldn't beat that. But that's amazing to post that kind of stat line and to be able to still put up 23 points and win the game, which Minnesota was able to do.
Yeah, it's got to make you sick if you got the Lions on a teaser or money line parlay, or if you had the Lions at a better number like Matt St. Marie did in the Friday Football Invitational. He laid the Lions last Friday 3.5. They closed 7.5 here, and they get beat by a Vikings team led by Max Brosmer, who was 9-for-16, 51 passing yards, no touchdowns. He was sacked 7 times, basically had 3 yards net, 3 yards passing, Will. He passed for 51. He was sacked 7 times for a loss of 48. The Vikings net 3 yards with their passing attack, and they beat the Lions by 13 points today. That's how dreadful the situation has become with Detroit. Wow.
And Randy McKay, who's a Vikings fan who's going to be on the show later, I'm sure he's frustrated as I am. Vikings wasted a pretty damn good roster. When you've got a roster with Jefferson and Addison at receiver, Hawkinson, Aaron Jones, a pretty good defense, Flores is a good defensive coordinator, O'Connell's a pretty well-respected coach, that's a really good roster. The problem is they've had horrible quarterback play from Carson Wentz, remember that, to J.J. McCarthy, who played better the last couple weeks, but it's been bad and has been hurt for the most part. And then Brosmer, if you just had average quarterback play, if you had Mac Jones on this team or you know, Sam Darnold from last year, probably like an 11-win team. I mean, that's a really good roster up and down. The problem is the quarterback outside of the Jets and maybe a couple other teams. I don't know who's had worse quarterback play than Minnesota this year.
I don't know if you can find the team because, you know, we praised Kevin O'Connell last year for all the work he did with Sam Darnold. Do you walk back some of that praise for Kevin O'Connell because he couldn't do the same thing with these quarterbacks? Yes.
Yes, I think so. I think a lot of that success of that team is Flores. And I think O'Connell's a pretty good coach, but I think he's going to be heading into year 5 next year. He hasn't won a playoff game. They got blown out by the Rams. They got beat at home by the Giants a few years ago. They had a chance to get the 1 seed against the Lions last year. They no-showed in that game. Again, I think he's a pretty good coach, but I don't think he's a great coach or an elite coach. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair because he hasn't won a playoff game yet, right? So I'm not going to call any coach elite until he can get into the playoffs and win. I like Mike McDonald of the Seahawks quite a bit. I think he's on the way to being an elite coach, but he's got to win a playoff game to get there. By the way, Bo Nix just threw a pass that was off the receiver's hands, deflected, almost intercepted, but not. The key word there is almost. And Nix throws incomplete into the back of the end zone on second down. So it's going to be 3rd and 10 with 26 seconds to go before the half. And I don't know. I got to believe Sean Payton, because – the Chiefs are going to have so much trouble moving the ball and putting points on the board. If the Broncos don't get it here on 3rd and 10, I think Peyton will probably kick the field goal. Do you agree, Will, or no?
Yeah, especially when you're running up against the clock. It's not like you got a bunch of clock to play with, right. So we'll see if that's a moot point. And it's not going to be a moot point. It looked like it was a touchdown. The ball pops loose at the end. What was going to be a touchdown pass is now going to be an incomplete pass. It looked like Sutton was the intended receiver. He had it for a moment, but when he hit the ground, he could not maintain control. Wouldn't imagine that gets overturned or anything. That looks like a pretty clear, we call it a drop or a pass breakup. That was good defense by the Chiefs, but regardless, it's going to be 4th and 10 for Denver, and I would imagine a field goal team comes on, and I would imagine this is probably how the half ends with a 7-6 Chiefs lead, because I don't imagine the Chiefs, you know, getting the ball here and being too daring with, you know, 15 or 20 seconds left, whatever happens, assuming this field goal is good. So if this field goal is up and good, and it is, I think we're going into that locker rooms here, Matt, with a 7-6 Chiefs lead.
Well, it looked like that ball got kicked out of Cortland Sutton's hands at the last second there before he hit the ground. It actually looked like the defender's foot kicked him and hit the ball and knocked it loose there. But you're right, the field goal is good, 7-6, 30 yards out. That's not what the Broncos wanted, but they're going to go into the locker room down 7-6. What's that going to do with the live number? Broncos still 5.5-point favorites. Total has dropped to 31.5. So field goals don't do much to change live numbers. I want to talk about the Steelers-Browns game. Will, and there are a lot of different ways to look at this. Depending on how the Ravens-Packers game turns out Saturday night in Green Bay. So the at home in the regular season, the Browns have won five of their last six versus the Steelers. They've won and covered their last three home games against the Steelers. Considering this game might not mean a whole lot to Pittsburgh, and DK Metcalf has been suspended, do we think the smarter play here is on the home dog Browns catching a field goal? Obviously, this number has come down a little bit, and I have a feeling that big Randy McKay is going to come on tonight in the final hour and say he's got to bet on the Browns at a better number.
Yep, as do I. I gave it out earlier in the week when it was Browns plus 4.5. Just for those reasons, DK Metcalf is not going to play. He's really their only receiver that scares you. And let's just say the Browns in Steelers game means something. I think the Browns will be up for it. They just played the Bills to a three-point game. I think a division rival, they'll be up for the task here in what could be bad weather. They'll be up to play spoiler. If it doesn't mean anything, which is the more likely scenario with Lamar Jackson doubtful for the Saturday night game, now you're talking about basically a preseason game, an exhibition game where you know, you're laying 3 points. So what's that Pittsburgh game plan look like if they wrap up the division? Do they get super conservative? Do they just run the ball? I'm happy to take the Browns plus the 3 points regardless of the circumstances. I think it, you know, this could easily be a 13-10 type of game. So the Browns, you're not getting the best of the number now, but considering that it's possibly meaningless for Pittsburgh, I think Cleveland keeps it close here. I like the dog.
You know what? The Browns are also very used to playing in meaningless games. Almost all the games the Browns play in are meaningless, so yes. They're in this situation all the time. Doug Kazarian is going to have a take on this game coming up in the next segment. What number did you get on the Browns? You said you got 4 or 4.5?
4.5 on Monday.
Does it concern you that Quinshon Judkins is out and that the Browns don't have much of a running game? I'm sure it concerns you a little bit. They don't have much of a ground game.
Yeah, it does worry me. He's a good player, but you know, still not enough. Right. I think that's a decent trade-off, though. If no DK Metcalf for Pittsburgh, no Judkins. I just like who's Rodgers going to be throwing the ball? They have Adam Thielen, who's still running around out there. They really mix together. They need Metcalf, and Metcalf not only for his production, but the attention he draws from defense. I think they're really going to miss him if they need the game.
All right, Will Hill, Matt Eumanns here on VSIM Primetime. We still got Doug Kazarian and Randy McKay coming up on the show here in the final 90 minutes. By the way, the Chiefs take the kickoff return out to the 25-yard line. They've only got 14 seconds left, and they do not have Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback, and they're not playing the Bills in the playoffs. So I'm pretty sure this is going to be a 7-6 game going to the half. Well, I was just curious, did you gather your wife and kids around the fireplace and TV this morning and tune in to the NBA? Did you watch the NBA on Christmas morning?
I watched the first quarter where I had a horrific beat on under 59.5. For the first quarter, it was 20-9 with like 4 minutes left, and basically nobody could miss a shot the final 4 minutes. So, yes, I unfortunately watched bits and pieces of it until the NFL started, mostly just watched the NFL.
That was a brutal beat on that bet. I know that Doug and his dog Arthur were in front of the TV watching that this morning. Doug Kazarian joins us next. We'll talk NBA, NFL, and more. Stay tuned back here in a couple minutes on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift or a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the season, VSiN's holiday special gives you pro access through May 1st for just $79. You get the daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Everything we do all the way through May 1st, that covers the bowl season, the NFL playoffs, March Madness, NBA playoffs, the Masters. Give yourself the gift of smarter betting or send it to a friend. VSIN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. This guy knows all about smarter betting. Doug Kazarian joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. And Doug, I mentioned that you and Arthur, your bulldog, were probably up early this morning watching the Knicks at the Garden. Was that the case?
Momentarily, and then I went back to bed. Not a lot of NBA watching today. I did wonder about the Cavs, whether they could finally get over the hump and things like that. They're playing well. Now, they covered, but this Knicks team has their number for sure.
All right, Doug, Las Vegas handicapper, professional handicapper and better. And Doug, by the way, where can people find your work and your podcast right now on a daily or weekly basis?
Appreciate it, Matt. Yeah, I've been doing a daily show with Bet Rivers, so that's on YouTube, Because We Win. And then also I've been doing my own YouTube show, more sports talk, if you will, and that's the Doug Kazarian Sports Network. But everything's tweeted out at my handle, at Doug Kazarian, all the links there. But yeah, a little bit of everything, writing for The Athletic, writing for the New York Post. So all over the place, the freelancer, as they say.
Are you going to, and I've seen a lot of your work, doing a great job with all that stuff right now. Are you going to write or do some sort of video on the quarterback situation in the NFL? How can a guy like Philip Rivers, who's been out of the game for about 5 years, walk back in and look like, on Monday night, look like one of the better quarterbacks in the league and probably the best player on the field for the Colts? And then you watch some of these other teams and the quarterback play is just pathetic. We got three third stringers starting here on Christmas Day.
Well, I think there's two parts to this. One is how defenses have adjusted. You know, like anything, remember the Wildcat that started and everyone was wondering, oh my God, this is unstoppable, until it wasn't. So there's always going to be a counter to the counter, things like that. So defenses have adjusted to a lot of the concepts that have been implemented. The first part of it is that these quarterbacks are coming into the league ready to play in the NFL. And instead of making them sort of relearn a new language, these offensive coordinators at the NFL level have been putting a lot of spread concepts into them. So there's a lot of shotguns, like Jaden Daniels is a perfect example, because you get these franchise quarterbacks on rookie deals, and that's where things are so effective. If you look at the last 20 teams that played in the last 10 Super Bowls, a lot of them are quarterbacks on rookie deals, and those are the ones that win, or star quarterbacks that are just in a tier by themselves, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or someone like that. So what happens is these quarterbacks have not been forced to learn pro concepts and reading defenses. And a lot of it is just going through your progressions and things that are very complicated. Well, a guy like Philip Rivers, who's such, you know, such a high IQ, you see him already calling audibles with about 22 seconds to go on the play clock. He's just looking at what the defense gives him. We see that with what Aaron Rodgers is doing. Brady was doing that at the end of his career, particularly in Tampa Bay. So what happens is, if you can simplify it and you know what the defense is doing, whether it's putting a guy in motion to determine whether they're in man or zone, it becomes a really simple game for quarterbacks to know what they're doing. And that's why we've seen these veteran quarterbacks or pseudo veteran quarterbacks like Sam Darnold, even Jake Browning last year, things like that. Those guys having sort of second chapters to their career, because every year they've played in the NFL, they're learning a little more. And it's just really complex for guys like Bo Nix, who's actually had a great season, but younger quarterbacks, we're starting to see them sort of hit a wall with their intelligence just because they don't have the experience under their belt.
Yeah, Bo Nix, when he doesn't make the right read or he gets in trouble, he can run out of trouble, and that's one thing he's got going for him. He's a dangerous runner, and that's one thing I do like about Bo Nix. But that's kind of a segue to the question about Matthew Stafford, an older quarterback who's odds-on favorite to win MVP. And, Doug, I know you've talked a lot about this. I'm sure you've got several bets on the MVP market. How do you assess it here heading down the stretch? And might the Rams be playing a couple of meaningless games? And might that impact the MVP race and how Stafford's going to play here in the final 2 weeks?
Oddsmakers are getting better at the awards markets, but they still haven't figured it out. Take, for example, a golf tournament when Scottie Scheffler is about three strokes back going into the weekend. So after two rounds, he's often still the favorite because they're accounting for what's going to happen the next two rounds. But the odds market, the awards market, the odds makers aren't doing that. They're so reactionary. It's almost like political betting. Anytime there's a national convention, whether it be the Republican convention or the Democratic one, whichever's first, there's this huge sort of surge in the money line for that candidate. It's like, well, of course everything's going to be, you have to still project, much like the golf tournament example. So Drake May plays pretty well in the second half, extends the pocket a couple times. And then all of a sudden there's money moves on him, but the voting's not being held the next day, Monday morning. You have to factor in what's going to happen the rest of the way. And that is Matthew Stafford playing on Monday night, where Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are going to gush about him against this Atlanta defense. And frankly, Stafford's crushing all the stats. He's leading the league in passing yards, total touchdowns in terms of passing, and then also passer rating. they just fired their special teams coordinator because they've been a disaster there, and that's how they've blown a few games. They got hosed by the refs on a couple calls last week against Seattle.
Yes.
And there's a lot of it. This is a lifetime achievement award. He's 37, never won this award. And yes, 2008 is the last time the MVP has come from a non-division champ. I get it. But, I mean, they already have 11 wins, likely going to finish with 13. The NFC West this year is just a unique circumstance. And the other candidates, like, I don't think Drake May should really be that much part of the conversation, especially if Vrabel's the odds-on favorite for Coach of the Year. I think guys like Trevor Lawrence might be more of a factor. Now, he doesn't quite have the stats, and May's had a really good season. I just don't think the voters, when it comes down to it, are going to give it to a young quarterback like May when Stafford's sitting there and it's so obvious. Even if he plays okay or even if the Rams lose, I still think he's going to win because the voting is going to be held not the next day. I just think this is done. This is a slam dunk right now.
Slam dunk. Matthew Stafford minus 360. Drake May, Josh Allen. Is it worth a flyer on a guy like Trevor Lawrence or Justin Herbert? I guess you would say no.
Well, I think a lot's going to depend on this Broncos game, right? Second half. I mean, Jacksonville needs some help. Now, they're in control of their own destiny in terms of winning the division, but to get a couple higher seeds, I think he's just going to run out of runway. So maybe 75-1 is probably the right price. But I don't think Josh Allen has a shot. It's just really hard to win as a back-to-back years. There's voter fatigue is like really a thing. So, I mean, the problem is there's just going to be so much competitiveness with the coach of the year. I mean, any other year, so many of these guys would win the award. But there's like five or six legit candidates. And I just think if, you know, a guy like Vrabel's going to win, there's no chance that Drake May's also going to win MVP. They like to spread it around, so to speak. That's just how these voters think, right or wrong. So I think, I mean, look, Stafford was minus 175 Monday morning, and I was laughing at that. Nothing has changed between Monday and now. It's just finally the market's maturing and getting more right. I think it's going to keep going up, and Stafford's going to be just fine. I know there's no Devontae Adams, but he'll be just fine on Monday night against Atlanta. And again, a guy like Troy Aikman, and when you have that platform, that's really going to influence voters, and you just kind of have to do the projection, much like I was talking about the Scottie Scheffler example of a golf tournament.
Will Hill?
Doug, last couple minutes here. Steelers-Browns. Steelers laying 3 points. Might be a meaningless game for the Steelers if the Ravens lose on Saturday. The Steelers clinch the division. Did you have a thought on this game?
Yeah, I do. And you guys were talking about it. And I think you nailed it, right? The market's come down. Steelers are without DK Metcalf and maybe meaningless depending on Saturday night unfolds. And I think those are all really astute points. I just think there's value here on the Steelers because Aaron Rodgers is in a zone. I think this Pittsburgh team is getting dismissed. Obviously, they had some fortunate and lucky wins throughout the course of the regular season, but they've also been pretty impressive at times, how they ran the ball last week. And Tomlin's not a guy who's going to let his locker room sort of go through the motions. Cleveland has had its moments, but this is still a pretty dysfunctional locker room. You have a coach that's not well-liked. You have a coach that doesn't like his quarterback. They're kind of a mess. Rodgers is sort of controls the line of scrimmage. He's still got his tight ends. They still have a rushing attack. I think they'll be okay here. I think it's too short of a number, all things considered. But I do understand the apprehension. It's a tough card, for sure. So that's the one that stuck out to me. Yes, the Steelers had a fluky end-of-the-game play with the Lions last week, but they played pretty well the entire game, and they've played well. I think the market's undervaluing Pittsburgh. I mean, against the Dolphins on Monday night and Tua, they were only three-point home favorites. I don't think the market's really responded to Rodgers playing well this juncture, and then Tomlin and everything else going well for them.
DK Metcalf suspended for the final two games, so he's not going to be in Cleveland. Doug, you got a couple minutes to hang out to talk about the association?
You got it.
I knew you wouldn't turn down that offer. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Doug on NBA when we come back. And by the way, the Chiefs have the ball to open the second half. Up 7-6. VSIN Primetime back in 3 minutes.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
If you think you know sports, get paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better, pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and if your picks hit, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you deposit, you'll get a 50% match up to $200. Play the NBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Go to better.app or download Better today. That's B-E-T-R. And use promo code VSIN for your free $10 and deposit bonus. All right, we're back here on VSIN Primetime. Will Hill, my co-host tonight, and Doug Kazarian, our guest. And Doug is on the Progressive guest line right now. You can follow him on social media at Doug Kazarian. And Doug, I know you were just saying you wish you had tickets to go to this Broncos-Chiefs game in Kansas City tonight, right? You wish you could be at the game?
Yeah, I tweeted it out. Who, like, what Chiefs fans are going to this game, or why are there any at the game? And I get it, like, the principles. Oh, it's Travis Kelce's final home game, or it's a, you know, we're real fans, but whatever. It's Christmas. It's a night game. There's got to be better things to do, you know, like stay at home with your family and things like that. But hey, hats off to them if they really find value in going to support the team.
Well, I often ask that when I watch an NBA game and say, what are these losers have going on in their lives? Why would you be out at this meaningless NBA game on some random night of the week? Anyway, Doug, how about the NFL today? Just quickly before we transition to the NBA, did you play any of today's NFL games and any of the takeaways you have, like the Detroit Lions and their sudden downfall from 15-2 to out of the playoffs, led by Caveman Dan?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy what's happened. And I've been the anti-Jared Goff, you know, MVP stuff, all this stuff. I never thought he'd play this poorly. And the Vikings defense obviously has been impressive at times. They just have no quarterback play. But the egg that Detroit laid today was pretty surprising. I thought they would respond well after last week and kind of get back on track. Rosemer didn't do anything that effectively. Now, I knew he'd look a little bit more competent, just not having to face the Seattle defense on the road, but man, that was a really disappointing performance. And you know, the windows of opportunity close really fast in the NFL. Detroit Lions were the team to beat for so much of last year. They had great coordinators, and Dan Campbell was the toast of the town. Well, now Campbell's probably the worst coach in his own division. So Detroit's window, I worry about it, but obviously the injury bug, especially on the offensive line, has wreaked havoc. But that division now, very competitive.
By the way, the Vikings had a net 3 yards passing today, won that game by 13 points. And, Will, before you jump to the NBA, do you still have that fact at your fingertips that how improbable it was for Max Brosmer and the Vikings to win that game?
Yeah, first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to throw for less than 70 yards, take 7 sacks, and still win the game. So history was made here in Minnesota. But, Doug, we do have one more NBA game tonight. I want to get your thoughts. Denver versus Minnesota. Denver's laying a point. I'm sure a lot of people look at this and say, wow, Denver at home only laying one. That's a little light. But Denver is dealing with a bunch of injuries. Do those injuries create opportunity in the prop market? And what do you look at in terms of a handicap for this game?
Yeah, 3 starters out. Still no Christian Brown or Aaron Gordon. And now Cam Johnson is out. So the trade that they made for Michael Porter Jr. that's looked bad so far, it now looks even worse with Johnson out 4 to 6 weeks. I think there's great opportunity here with Tim Hardaway Jr. He's already been coming off the bench and getting about 7 3-point attempts and opportunity. He's just a spot-up shooter. When you play with a guy like Jokic, he's going to find you. Jokic knows he's not going to beat the T-Wolves by himself going for 50 or whatnot. So it's going to be a lot of the ball finds, sort of the open man. And Hardaway has played well when he has started. He's only started 2 games this year. Over 2.5 made threes is plus like 135 range. There's a lot to like with that bet. Of all the bets today, that's honestly my favorite bet so far, you know, in terms of NBA and NFL. Just when the day started, this is the one I like. So Tim Hardaway Jr., over 2.5 made threes, increased usage, increased minutes, and he'll have some nice open looks. And I think he's a spot up knockdown shooter.
Not too many regular season games or stories get our attention, especially if you're a casual fan, but the Spurs beating the Thunder 3 times in, 11, 12 days, winning these games comfortably, beating them twice in 3 days. What's your reaction? Do the Thunder have a Spurs problem? Is this just a regular season fluke? And how seriously here should we be taking the Spurs going forward?
Oh, 100% we should be taking them seriously. I mean, everyone's thinking this Thunder team's the greatest team ever. It's laughable. They barely got to the NBA championship last year. Now, give them all the credit. They were worthy champions. But this was not a dominant team. This wasn't the Warriors with Durant that ended up sweeping the finals. I mean, frankly, Haliburton got hurt in game seven. Was maybe the only reason they won. And don't forget, in round two, they were down 2-1 against the Nuggets, and Denver on its home court in the fourth quarter was a money line favorite and by like and also like a 1.5-point favorite until OKC rallied. Now, Thunder deserve a lot of credit for fighting back and everything, and they won the championship. But this was not an unbeatable team that's minus money to win it all like those Warriors teams were. So the fact that the Spurs have their number is not surprising at all. It is surprising they've won three meetings because Wemby's that special. But, I mean, you can get the Spurs at some pretty attractive prices here in town. There's like 15-1 to win the West, stuff like that. I think they're totally legit. Obviously, their coach, Mitch Johnson's among the favorites to win Coach of the Year. I think he's tied for the second favorite at 4-1. So this Spurs team's legit, and they're only going to get better with those young guys, right? Harper, Castle, they've weathered some injuries themselves. Fox missed a lot of games. So there's a lot to love with this Spurs team, and Wemby is obviously such a unique component. I throw it out there. Wemby's 150-1 to win MVP. Now, he's missed a bunch of games. He has to meet the threshold. But if they're going to bring him off the bench, and what if they end up with the one seed? I mean, I've made a lot worse bets than 150-1 on Wemby, who's clearly the most impactful player on defense and obviously on offense. When you saw his plus minus in the NBA Cup, he's ridiculous. So if they can baby him and maybe he plays every game or all but a few, there's something to be considered there.
Doug, I can remember when Larry Brown coached the Pistons and it was first team to 75 can win some of these games. But you look at the board tomorrow, boy, it's a new era in the NBA. The Pistons at the Jazz, laying 9.5. The total is 244.5. Too high, too low? What are your thoughts on this game?
So I haven't dove deep into analytics for the, you know, all the every day for the last decade, but I've never seen on-off splits or home-away splits like I see with the Utah Jazz. So Utah, their offensive rating at home is like 8th in the league right now. It's truly remarkable. And then on the road, they're like 28th. I just haven't seen that at all. It's crazy. So we're talking like 8th and then 3rd worst home or away. And I get the altitude and everything. Their defense stinks in both. It's like 2nd worst home and 3rd worst on the road. So overs have just been cashing on Utah Jazz home games. 12-5 to the over. They're also better against the spread. 11-6 at home ATS as opposed to 4-8 on the road ATS. So I've just been blindly betting overs with the Jazz at home. Sometimes I've isolated the first half if I think the altitude's going to kick in and things like that. Now, the Pistons do have a top five defense in terms of efficiency, but I think everything gets thrown out the window when they go to Salt Lake City, all these teams, and they just have to get into a track meet. The Jazz just get up and down, and they're not tanking this year. They were adamant saying that before the season. They're 10-8 overall, I believe. Their win total was 18.5 or so. So this is a team that I've just been blindly betting the overs and first half overs because of those splits home and away with offensive efficiency.
That's Doug Kazarian. Doug, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Thanks for putting on the blue sport coat tonight, jumping on with us here for about a half hour. And go grab Arthur, jump on the couch, get the popcorn ready for T-Wolves Nuggets here later tonight.
Yeah, we're going to get his Christmas jammies on. And wind down Christmas with some, hopefully, cashing some tickets.
Root in that Tim Hardaway prop tonight. All right, thanks, Doug. Appreciate it, man.
You got it.
Hey, Will, the Broncos are driving here. They've got 2 field goals on the board tonight. Bo Nix just completes a pass for a first down. Broncos need to put something on the board other than a field goal, but they got a completed pass to Cortland Sutton and a first down. So moving into KC territory here, down 10-6. And I'll give you the live number from DraftKings here after this play finishes. Broncos run it wide on first down for a loss of 5. Sean Payton not calling. His play calling has not been that sharp. Right now, 10-6. Broncos down to 3.5-point favorites, minus 120. Money line has now dropped to minus 295. And the total in the game, 31.5. Will, I know sometimes you don't make a live bet and you're happy about it because it would have been a loser. This is one we regret tonight, not taking the points with the Chiefs. We talked about it. It was up to 15.5, didn't take it, and boy, that number is long gone. But the Broncos are threatening to score here. It was about 6 minutes ago in the third quarter. We'll update what's happening with this Bo Nix-led drive when we come back. But we got to take a quick break here and come back for the final hour of VSiN Primetime. You're listening to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.